Hello, friend. Did you know that approximately 166,000 people pass away every day? And many think they will then fly away to a spiritual realm. Let's uncover the facts from Scripture regarding exactly when we are given the gift of immortality. Recently, I came across an article that stated that many people associate the appearance of butterflies with messages from their loved ones who have just died. When they see a butterfly, they feel it is their loved one telling them everything is okay on the other side. They reason that because the butterfly just went through a metamorphosis from a caterpillar, that this is a symbol of ongoing life after death. Should we place our faith in our feelings when we look at butterflies, or in what the Bible actually says about death, resurrection, and the afterlife? Instead of depending on the philosophies of men, human tradition, or speculation, we should trust the most reliable source of information we have, which is the Word of God. When we go back to the beginning of the world, the Bible says that Adam and Eve lived in a beautiful garden called Eden. In the middle of Eden was the tree of life, whose fruit had the power to perpetuate life. If Adam and Eve remained obedient to God, they would have had free access to this tree and would have lived forever. But they sinned and were cut off from the tree. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24 says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever." So what did God do to prevent Adam and Eve from having immortality in a sinful state? The Bible says, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." In other words, God placed angels at the entrance of the garden so that Adam and Eve would no longer have access to the tree of life. After an Adam and Eve sin, God said that they would die and return to the dust. Let's read it in verse 19. "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." These verses teach us that immortality, which means endless life, was promised to Adam and Eve on the condition of their obedience to God. When they sinned, they lost that privilege and would have no hope, but then God intervened. He decided to send his son to die for man's sins, which would bring immortality back within their reach. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Let's praise the name of Jesus, for he is the only one who has made it possible for you and me to live forever. When Jesus appeared on earth, do you remember that he raised Lazarus from the dead? It's in John 11, verse 23. Jesus said to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, "Your brother will rise again." Then Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But then Jesus raised Lazarus that same day. But for almost everyone else, just like Martha said, they will be resurrected at the last day. In John chapter 6, 39, Jesus clearly said, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." In verse 40, he said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In verse 44, he continued, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And in verse 54, he also said, "I will raise him up at the last day." Thus, four times in John chapter 6, Jesus points us to the hope of a future resurrection. But when is this last day, and when will this resurrection take place? Paul answered that question in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where he wrote, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Bible is clear that the last day is referring to the second coming of Jesus, which is when we receive immortality. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23, Paul also wrote, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." Did you catch the inspired order of events? Jesus rose first, and later his followers will be raised at his second coming. The biggest issue is, are we true followers of Jesus? We can be by surrendering our lives to Him, trusting His grace, and by obeying Him. Then if we have to rest in the grave, that's not a problem, because when Jesus returns, the life giver will raise us up on the last day. The book of Revelation says that those who obey God will once again have access to that ancient tree of life. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The bottom line, friend, is that you and I are now mortal, which means subject to death. But the good news is that Jesus, our Savior, gained the victory over sin and death, so we can once again receive the gift of immortality at His second coming. I urge you to give your life to Jesus today, to trust His word, and to prepare your heart for His return. If you understand when we are given immortality, please comment below at the last day. God bless you, friend. Until next time.